Welcome to Healing with Worth, a podcast dedicated to healthy recovery and instilling hope in the wake of betrayal trauma. We are women that have experienced this intimately and want to support other women so they don't have to walk the path alone. We are not professionals, and the content of this show is not meant to replace therapeutic healing. If you would like to join a therapist-led support group to help your betrayal trauma, you may reach out to us at healingwithworth.org to join one of our free online worth groups. Now, here are your hosts, Janine and Naomi.
Welcome back to Healing with Worth. This is episode 100, and we are your hosts, Janine and Naomi.
Yay, 100.
I know, we made it.
This episode, we wanted to just give you a short synopsis of where we are now. And what does life look like for us after years of recovery?
And years and years.
It's still ongoing.
Yes. And
in the prior episode, we talked a little bit, or we just mentioned briefly the four pillars of worth, the boundaries, self-care, connection, and action. And we just wanted to briefly go over those. And in addition to sharing where we are now. Mm-hmm. And why it matters to us.
Yeah.
Why is it important? So do you want to start, Naomi, or
sure.
Do you want me to? Okay.
Sure, I'll go ahead. Recovery has been a long process for me. And I think really life is a process of recovery in general. There's so many things that we're learning and growing and becoming. And I think that is a wonderful characteristic of life in general. Just so we're always in the process of becoming and changing. So for me, it looks like I still attend a group. It's a different group than before. I've been in marriage repair groups, like groups that are hoping to repair marriage. And that's where I spent a majority of my time. And it wasn't until I reached a point where I had to really just ask myself the question, what do I want? What does my future look like? And is there hope? And I just found a place in my life where I just felt like this is the next right step. And so I moved forward and in the process of divorce right now. So the group that I'm in right now is a divorce support group, which I'm so grateful that Worth has both aspects. There is a group for people who are really wanting to work on the relationship and make things work, which I spent a lot of time there. And now I'm on the other end where, you know, I had to make a choice. I had to make a choice, and it was definitely not an easy choice. And it still isn't an easy choice. And it's still one of the most difficult things that I've ever had to and ever will have to continue doing so far in my life. I know it's the right step, and it's also very difficult and mm-hmm. and still painful.
Yeah. I have so much respect for women who are divorced. I really do. Like, my respect has just increased exponentially, knowing that decision was not easy for them, that they probably spent years and years making that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm making an assumption here, but I generally speaking, I think that most women really desire to be married, at least in our situations with Worth, where there's so much abuse in marriages mm-hmm. that need to be worked out that sometimes it doesn't work out. And so it's better to leave a marriage that's toxic than to continue in an unhealthy marriage.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think when I think about it, I don't know, nobody wants a divorce. It's not that I wanted a divorce ever.
Right.
I didn't want that. I didn't want it for me. I didn't want it for my kids. I didn't want it for my family. I didn't spend all that time trying to cultivate peace in my life only to have it end in anything but peace, especially like it depends on the situation, but there certainly are divorce situations that are not peaceful.
Yeah.
And there are aspects that are peaceful, and there are other aspects that are very fraught with not peace.
Right.
The
But
best
when
way I
you,
can describe it.
yeah,
But yeah.
Definitely. And there's two people in a marriage. And so
yeah.
if one person is not engaged in nurturing the marriage, then it's very difficult to have a real healthy relationship.
Yeah. And it's heartbreaking on a lot of levels. So,
for
yeah.
Sure. For me, this journey started about 8 years ago when I found myself picking my husband up from jail and realizing that he had strung a web of lies around me our entire marriage. And so that point was the point in which all that unraveling started to begin, of the deceptive patterns. And I honestly believe that he was really just scared, but it doesn't give him a good excuse. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so it was a blessing in some ways. I even wrote the officer that arrested him a thank you note.
Oh.
I don't know if the officer ever got it, but I wrote a thank you note to him because I thought about when you have a marriage based on lies, you can't really have true connection. You can't truly be vulnerable with another person.
Yeah.
So while we really still struggle in that area, at least there's some hope, because before there would be no hope. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because you know now. You didn't know before. You didn't know what you didn't know. And so you were operating on false assumptions.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that has been a blessing, but it's also been a lot of work.
Yeah.
And that's where recovery comes in, is because his actions created an environment of deception, which is psychological manipulation, is what it is. It's emotional abuse on some level, whether he realized that or not, which I'm sure he didn't realize that. And I certainly didn't realize that.
Right.
I don't know where our marriage is headed at this point in time. Abusive patterns have stopped, but neglect is still there. And that's still very damaging to a relationship. That's where I'm at. But I do miss the groups of worth. I feel like I sometimes need to get back into a group because, but I'm just in a different space now. I'm not in the disclosure state. I'm in the, okay, this is my life, my new reality. Yeah. What do I do with it? But I still find that I'm constantly trying to incorporate the four pillars of worth into my life. So let's talk about those for just a minute.
Yes, yes.
Early on in recovery, all I heard was, it's all about boundaries and self-care, boundaries and self-care.
Yes.
So let's start with boundaries. What is your brief synopsis of boundaries?
Boundaries.
What you've learned? What has been the most important thing that you've learned about boundaries?
Yes, the most important thing that I learned about boundaries is boundaries are not about what somebody else does. It's about what you are going to do. It is about the action that you are going to take for yourself to create safety around you. And I think that's the most misunderstood topic.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people want to say, my boundary is that you can't fill in the blank.
Right.
Or my boundary is that you have to fill in the blank,
right?
Where it's not about controlling what somebody else does or doesn't do. It's about allowing somebody else to be whoever they're going to be. And then you make a decision about how you respond to and how you create safety when they are doing things that are unsafe.
Right.
And so I think that was the biggest turning point for me, is that I get to create this boundary. I get to say, no, actually, I don't want you to be in my home. or when you can. So yeah,
yeah,
I think that's probably the biggest thing. It's an action that you take. It's not what, it's not so much about what other people do or don't do, but it's about what you do. What about you?
Yeah. And they are, I think you said it perfectly. They're very confusing at first, if you haven't had boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
And a little caveat or a little warning, I should say, is if you haven't had boundaries in your relationship, once you start implementing boundaries, there could be a lot of chaos that ensues because
your partner
is
galore.
Not, yep, your partner is not used to you setting boundaries, but boundaries are very healthy. Mm-hmm. They're necessary for healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. And they are not a request. And be patient with yourself and just keep trying and keep experimenting. But the clearer you can get around the definition of boundary and what that looks like, the better off you'll be. But you said it exactly right. It's not, I hear often that it's, he crossed my boundary because I didn't want him to blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, X, Y, Z. And it's, that's not a boundary. So that's why it didn't work.
Right. And it's a simple word, but it is a very complex process to figure out, especially when you don't understand, especially when you've never done it really before.
Yeah.
I think in a lot of ways, people do have boundaries. They don't really recognize them as boundaries. And so it's a process. So I think, like you said, Janine, I think just give yourself grace and allow yourself to make mistakes. And just keep trying, keep practicing, because the more you practice, the better you get at it.
Yeah, for sure. But that is probably one of the most important pillars and probably one of the hardest to implement, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Especially if you're dealing with an abusive person who doesn't like boundaries.
Oh,
and is not respectable. Respect it. Is not... very respectful. There we go.
Yes.
I got it all out.
Yes.
Because they're not relational. And that's the problem. When you're dealing with unrelational people or an unrelational person, then boundaries are going to be very difficult for them to accept.
Oh, absolutely. Okay.
So pillar number two, self-care.
Yes.
What do you have to say about self-care?
Oh, goodness. I think self-care and boundaries really do go hand in hand. They're like the two sides of the same coin, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's not so much about bubble baths and pampering. It's about being intentional with your time and your energy. So putting into yourself what you need, and that might be a nap, it might be a bubble bath, but it might also look like studying, learning something new. There are so many aspects of self-care that can be talked about, and I think we'll probably look more into that. And we did quite a few episodes on self-care way early on, and so I love self-care. I love it. And it's a very intentional thing. And sometimes I find myself, it's something that can easily become routine. And I think for me, I do have a little bit of a self-care routine each day, which is helpful. And then sometimes I don't even think about it, but when I don't do it, I can feel it. I sense it. And I'm like, ooh, I am not running on all cylinders today. Something is missing. And I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't do this or that for one reason or another.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely important.
For sure. And I love how you brought in an energy aspect, because I think it is very much tied to where do we put our energy?
Mm-hmm.
And is it in this relationship that may not be ready for your energy?
Mm-hmm.
And if this relationship is not ready for your energy, then where do you put it?
Yes.
And putting it into places that help you grow
Yes, I love
as
that.
a person. Okay, and we will talk lots more about self-care in
Yes.
coming episodes. The third pillar, connection. Oh my goodness, this was scary at first.
Yes. Oh, so scary. It's almost the hardest one to overcome.
It can be, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
I
I think
think you're
still
right.
is to some extent, because it takes a lot of vulnerability.
Vulnerability, yep.
Yes. It takes a lot of vulnerability to connect with other people. And I have to say, I feel like I have connections. Like, I have connections with my Worth sisters. We have a Marco Polo group. So we stay connected and we lift each other and we cheer each other on and validate and just help one another. And so I think that aspect of connection is there for me. I think some other areas that are maybe more of a struggle are places like, just in general, right? I talked about this in the last episode, right? Like, I connect better to the people in Worth because of the vulnerability that we have there than I do with like people in my ward or whatever, right? Because of that like masking that you have to do. So I think that still can be a little area of where I may need to work a little bit. But at the same time, I have my people and I'm happy with the people that I have.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think about connection?
Yeah, I think I'm in the same space you are. It's hard to know sometimes like how much to share with people. Like, I'm pretty open, but sometimes people can't handle all that I may share. And so but I've also learned that what I need to share is what I need to share. And if they have a problem with it and they can't handle it, that's their problem. It's not mine anymore. It's I feel authentic.
Yeah.
I feel true to what I needed to share. So there are some places that I've held back a little bit. And if I'm ever feeling like I wish I would have shared that, or I wish I would have not shared that, just take that as a, okay, next time.
Yeah.
I'll do it a different way. You just try and experiment and do the best you can, but it's hard to know how much to share. But one thing I'm not going to do is I'm not going to protect my husband's image. I have decided that. If I need to share something, I'm going to do it in a very respectful way, but I'm not going to hide my life and how things have affected my life.
Yeah.
In whatever capacity that may be. And there have been times when I've been in class, a class, and this can vary from Relief Society to college class, where I'm a little bit more open because I'm passionate about the topic. I want other women to know that this is not okay in their marriages. I want professors to know that you're using victim language, victim blaming language. And I'm going to call them out on that. And I may do that through an email. I may do it in private, or I may do it in the class. But I'm protecting women here.
Yes.
They don't need my protection. But what I'm saying is I want to be a voice for women. And however I need to do that, I'll do it. And if my husband's there or not, he already knows that I will be authentic when I need to be authentic. And that's part of living with me now.
Right. And you just described action right there.
Yes. Right? Yes,
that's,
I did.
That's exactly where it's at. Not that everybody has to go around like a story from the rooftops,
no,
but
definitely.
But
not.
It's those little things in being able to speak up in different places and advocate for people and be a voice. And also, I think connected to that action piece includes taking action for yourself.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what they all kind of accumulate. Like, it's a cumulative effect between boundaries and self-care and connection. It's all a cumulative effect that leads to action and taking steps to move forward, whatever that may look like. And that may look like something different for everyone. Some people, that may be reconciliation And others that may not be. That may be a dissolution. But it's getting yourself to a place where you are healthy enough to be able to make a decision that's not made. It's not made. I'm trying to think of the word. Not impromptu. Impulsively.
Perfect word. Yeah.
Yes. That's not made impulsively. It's something that you're able to think out, you're able to understand, and really, I don't know that any decision you make in regards to a relationship can be fully understood before you make it. But I think there are a lot of things that you can understand what you're essentially going to feel or experience as a result of that choice. Sometimes that can be frightening. And I think maybe we need a little bit more of those boundaries and self-care and connection to be able to overcome some of those fears that may stand in the way of one or the other, be it reconciliation or dissolution, is just being able to move through the emotions involved in that and really understand and uncover what's going on inside of you.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are the four pillars of worth and the pillars that we'll be talking about throughout the year and with therapists. And there'll be many more topics that we talk about. And if you who are listening have a particular topic that you would like us to address, send us an email through Worth.
Yes, please do.
Make sure you let us know what you would like to hear about. I know a topic that's particularly important and also women want to know how to navigate is sexuality. If they're still in a married relationship, they still really struggle with that. I know a lot. Yeah. So I'm sure that we'll be addressing that at some point as well, mm-hmm. and how to navigate that. But basically, I think how I want to end this episode is just your recovery is your recovery. And mm-hmm. Naomi and I are there to support, but ultimately you have to receive your own personal revelation about things, about the direction that you need to move and the things that you need to incorporate in your life. We are only here to give you suggestions or things that have helped in our life. And they're not really suggestions, are they? They're more just, yeah. This is what
experiences.
Yeah. Yeah. This is what's worked in our life. And this is what has been helpful to others, but you're going to have to implement, you're going to have to take the action to do it. And every situation is so different. You cannot really compare my life to Naomi's life. There's a lot of similarities, mm-hmm. but, and similar patterns. And I think that's where you want to give attention to in your relationship is patterns. And what are these patterns that are coming up in our relationship? But individual circumstances are so different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's another thing that we don't want to get caught up in is comparing our situation to another's, because it's easy to say they have it worse than me. And I think that's a way of coping and maybe even a little bit of gaslighting ourselves in that it's not as bad as I think it is, saying like it could be worse.
Denial.
And I don't think that it's fair for us to gaslight ourselves or try and convince ourselves or that it's not as bad as somebody else has it, because it's as bad as it feels for you. And that's important. And it's important for you to explore that and understand those feelings and where they're coming from and what those things are that are leading to those feelings, because that's where the healing comes. And it's really being able to understand those emotions, where they're coming from, what are the needs that aren't being met, and really look to find out what can you do to meet those needs. So,
said. Okay, we'll be back next week.
Yes, so many things to talk about. Yes. So we look forward to diving deep on all these things and just having these real open conversations and just talking through things. So We hope that you are enjoying this so far, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us this week on Healing with Worth. Make sure you visit our website, healingwithworth.org, to enroll in a therapist-led support group or to check out our blog. If you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes or wherever you may listen, or simply tell a friend about the show. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode, because you are worth it.